Father in heaven, we thank you that you've caused all scripture to be written for our benefit. Father in heaven, we ask this morning that you would give us ears to hear, minds to understand, and hearts to obey what you say to us in your word. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We go through life with role models. Some of these role models, they're unconscious, they're unpicked, as it were, kind of like our parents. We don't pick our parents. And for many years, our parents have a profound effect on us. Even if they're not conscious role models, even if they're not role models that we personally picked, they are still role models. But there are other role models in life that we pick as well, that we choose, people that we aspire to be like, people that we regard as heroes, people that we regard as examples, perhaps someone who is a sporting hero, perhaps someone who is an actor, perhaps someone who is a musician, perhaps someone who is an expert in whatever field you find yourself studying or you find yourself working in. And what these heroes do, what these heroes that we have picked do, is that they affect us. Their ups and downs affect us. We want to do whatever it is that they do. This part of 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 is all about the example. It is all about the role model, the example. 2 Corinthians 8, 16 to 9, 5 is all about this, the role model or the example. Now, this is our second sermon in a series on money and generosity. And last week we heard that the Corinthians were to excel in the grace of giving because of the example of others, because of the grace of Christ, and because it promotes equality. And what we find in today's passage is that the example that the Corinthians set is influential too. If this point had turned up in last week's sermon, it would have been, excel in the grace of giving because of your example. Excel in the grace of giving because of your example. Now, the key verse in the passage that we're looking at this morning is verse 24. Therefore, show these men the proof of your love and the reason for our pride in you so that the churches can see it. But before we get there, we begin in verse 16 with more of the context of the day. See, remember the situation. The Jerusalem Christians were finding it hard on the financial front. And so Gentile Christians from all around the ancient Near East had got together and they were sending money to Jerusalem to help out the Christians there. And there were certain people who were going to carry that money. And in these verses, this first half of chapter 8, the last half, but the first half of this morning's reading, we meet some of those men who will carry the money. I thank God who put into the heart of Titus the same concern I have for you. For Titus not only welcomed our appeal, but he is coming to you with much enthusiasm and on his own initiative. And we are sending along with him the brother who is praised by all the churches for his service to the gospel. What is more, he was chosen by the churches to accompany us as we carry the offering. In the previous section, Paul encouraged the Corinthians to excel in the grace of giving. And these people that Paul names or describes, these are the ones who will be carrying that fruit of their excelling. First of all, you've got Titus. Titus wants the Corinthians to excel in the grace of giving. He wants them to follow through on what they've volunteered to give. And the concern that Titus has for the Corinthians is a God-given concern. It's also the same concern that Paul has for the Corinthians, that the Corinthians would do what they said they would do. With Titus, you've got another man. We don't know his name, but he has a good reputation amongst the churches. And then if you jump ahead to verse 22, there's a second unnamed brother who is equally suitable to be carrying the collection. He is tested. He's not on debut. He's not a newbie. He has proven on many occasions that he is zealous. These three men, they come highly recommended. If you could read a review website of what these men were like, they would be five-star. They would be five-star men. There is high praise for them. They are servants of the gospel. They've been chosen by the churches for this job of carrying the collection to the Christians who are doing it tough in Jerusalem. The people carrying this money are trustworthy. You need to be careful when dealing with money, especially when it's other people's money. Here's the first example of the passage. Carrying the money has been entrusted to reliable people. Then in verses 19 to 21, we get an inside look into the collection. Why is this collection happening? And why is it happening in this particular way? First of all, did you notice? It's to honour the Lord himself. It's to honour the Lord himself. That's one reason why this collection is happening. Giving money honours the Lord. God has commanded his people to be generous. Giving shows that all of life has been submitted to Christ, because how we use our money is a spiritual matter. How we use our money is a spiritual matter. And when they give, it demonstrates all of life has been submitted to the Lordship of Jesus. Second of all, giving money helps. That's another reason for why this collection is happening. Remember the context. Jerusalem Christians finding it hard on the financial front, so giving helps in a very obvious way as far as their provision. They're able to survive because of this money that is coming to them from the generous Gentile churches. But also giving helps because this is a very real, very visible, a very tangible expression of their relationship to one another. The relationship between the Christians in Jerusalem and those Gentile Christians who gave, it's not just the relationship in name. Here you have something visible. Here you have something that you can touch. Here is something that you can see that shows that the relationship is more than just one of name. And thirdly, and this is, I guess, what Peter was alluding to earlier on, they're being above board. They're being above board. That's why the collection is happening in this way. Paul says they're avoiding criticism and they're taking pains to do what is right. And it's a situation where they're doing what's right, not just in God's sight, but also in the sight of men. It's God and man. It's why you have this whole entourage carrying the collection. I mean, you kind of think to yourself, do you really need three men to carry money? Is it a lot of money? Is it really heavy? We don't know, but you have at least three men carrying this collection because they're taking pains to do what is right, not just in God's sight, but also in the sight of men. See, we can assume that Christians are honest. I think that's a fairly good assumption. But that's not enough. It's not enough that Christians are honest. You also need to avoid the situation where you can be accused of dishonesty. Having some kind of accountability is necessary to protect our reputations and also to protect the honour of Jesus' church and also to protect the honour of the Lord himself. So you might notice on our roster we have two people counting the collection. One person could do it. I'm sure that there are very, very many mathematically capable people in this church. But to avoid the accusation of dishonesty and to maintain accountability, we have two people counting. And also it's a guard against temptation. You need to have two people colluding in order to embezzle the money. But that's part of the accountability that we see in the church. So after Paul has spoken about the suitability of the men who are carrying the collection, after he's talking about the manner of the collection, that is above board, to honour the Lord, to help people, Paul commands the Corinthians, give proof of your love. Give proof of your love, which in this case he's talking about the money that they promised. The proof of love is the visible evidence of what they said that they would do. If you want to get an idea of what people value, two good things to observe are how they use their time and how they use their money. Here, the proof of love, the proof of what they value, it's giving that money that they promised that they would. And Paul also wants to be able to make good on the boast that he's had, the confidence that he's had, the pride that he's had in the Corinthians. See, I don't know if you've ever had that experience, but it's rather embarrassing when you talk someone up, you say, oh, this person is really good at doing whatever it is, and then he isn't as good as you made him out to be. This is what Paul is a little bit fearful of. This is what Paul is reminding the Corinthians of. It's important that the Corinthians aren't embarrassed in terms of not following through on what they said they would do. It's important that Paul is not embarrassed in terms of talking up the Corinthians and saying, these guys are really generous guys. Their example is an example to you as well. And thirdly, in verse 24, where Paul commands the Corinthians, it's so that the church sees it, so that the churches see it. Their example, the Corinthian example, is important to the other churches. Remember last week I talked about three reasons to excel in the grace of giving, and also said there were actually four reasons in verses 1 to 15 of chapter 8. Here is the fourth one. The example of the Corinthians is important to other churches. You might think that a church's giving, or even your own giving, is your own business. But that's thinking of a church or yourself in isolation. We are connected. We have relationships. Paul says the opposite here. Don't think of yourself in isolation. It's almost necessary that the other churches know that the Corinthians are giving. It doesn't say that they need to know amounts, but it seems like others need to know, because there is a public aspect to giving. We're not a bunch of solo Christians, nor are we a bunch of solo churches. Your example has an effect on others, and the effect that you want is a positive effect. You probably don't need to know how much I give, or how much the person who's sitting in front of you or beside you gives, but you do need to know that I give, or the person in front of you, or the person behind you, or the person on either side of you. You need to know that people give. Our giving has an effect on others, and that desired effect is to encourage them to give as well. We do need to be reminded of the danger at this point, which of course is doing things for show. Giving with your hand, but not with your heart. But even though there is that danger, The example of giving is still important. Finally, verses 1 to 5 of chapter 9. There is no need for me to write to you about this service to the saints, for I know your eagerness to help, and I have been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year you and Achaia were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. But I am sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you in this matter should not prove hollow, but that you may be ready, as I said you would be. For if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to say anything about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you had promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given. Paul knows that the Corinthians know. There is no need for him to talk about, you know, the Jerusalem Christians are doing it tough, so you need to send money to them, or it would be a good thing to send it to them. There is no need for him to go into those sorts of details. But in verse 2, he talks them about the power of their example. Your example of giving has prompted others to give. See, remember Achaia, it's the Roman province of what we would call Greece. And Paul has been telling the people in Macedonia to the north of Greece, hey, these Corinthians, they're giving money. They've been enthusiastic to give. And verse 2, your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. They are inspirational. They are inspirational people. Their giving, their generosity, their enthusiasm is inspirational. They were the inspiration for other churches to give. But, verse 3 and 4, the words need to be followed up with actions. They've made big promises to give, and those big promises have been made known. So they need to follow through on that. especially because when what they've said has spurred others to do the same. If they don't, they'll be one in a long list of failed examples. In the last little while, we've witnessed the fall of Lance Armstrong, champion cyclist, cancer survivor, charity founder. But those cycling titles were the result of being a cheat. He was a role model to many, an example to many, to what a survivor of cancer can do, an inspiration to many, and his failure rocked many. The failure of an example has big consequences. It undermines confidence, doubt, and cynicism grow. If the Corinthians don't give, their reputation and Paul's reputation are on the line. Obviously, the Corinthians won't be examples of generosity, and Paul's judgment of character will be called into question. There are big stakes on the line. And so verse 5 concludes Paul's argument. You might be wondering, though, how does having someone come to talk to you, almost to put the heavy on you, put the hard word on you, how does it make what you give generous rather than a gift? How does it make it generous rather than something grudgingly given? It sounds like, you know, standover tactics, getting the heavy to come round to your house and say, you know, where's that money that you promised? Where's that money that you owe? The thing to remember here is the Corinthians voluntarily made that promise to give. They volunteered to give. They had the desire to give. Remember, they put their hand up straight away. Yes, I want to give to the Jerusalem Christians. If you feel the compulsion, it's only because of what you'd said you would do. The Corinthians might feel compulsion, but it's only to do with what they said that they would do and following through on what they said that they would do. And what they said they would do was be generous. They were going to be generous. See, it would be a different case if the apostle had said to the Corinthians, everyone here in the Corinthian church, you're all giving $30 for the Jerusalem collection. And then he sent Titus in to collect the money. That's more like the heavy man, the hit man, the guy coming in to collect money. But remember what actually happened. The Corinthians volunteered to give. Paul says they were the first to desire to give, to volunteer to do that. They put their hand up, and now it was time to follow through. So the Corinthians, they're a double example. They're an example in terms of the giving. Remember, they have spurred others on to action. But also they're an example in terms of keeping their word, doing what it is they said that they would do. So when you make an undertaking to give, whether that's to a missionary, to an organization, perhaps you've made a pledge of some description, or you've said to a particular person who's going out on missions, yes, I will support you financially. Make sure that you do it. Make sure that you do it. And of course, if you've promised to support people in other ways as well, as a prayer support, make sure you do that as well. But in these last few moments, I'd like us to consider how your giving, how our giving is an example to others. The first thing is that you give. Remember? The first thing is that you give. As a Christian person, this is something that you do. From last week, remember, because Christ has been generous to me, I'm going to be generous to others. Because Christ has been generous to me, I'm going to be generous to others. Giving is an encouragement to others. It might even be inspirational. Second of all, I think it's important that we teach our children to give. It's important that we teach our children to give. That is another way in which our giving is an example to others. It's not something that you just pick up, giving, that is. It needs to be taught, whether that means giving your child the envelope to put into the plate, or perhaps if you do something on the internet, getting the child to click send, I don't know, or talking with your child about giving and money and why it is our family does what it does with its money. We need to teach our children to give because the example matters. The example matters. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the great generosity that you've shown towards us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father in heaven, we thank you for the encouragement that you give us in seeing examples of people who are obedient, people who are generous, people who do what they say they would do. Father in heaven, we pray that you would put that same generosity into our hearts. Father, we pray you would put that same willingness to be generous and to do what we say we would do in our hearts. And Father in heaven, we plead with you that in your mercy, our example would be an encouragement to others. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.